You're listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. I am your host, Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes. In this show, I'm sitting down with creators from all walks of life to talk about inspiration, process, the lessons they've learned, and a whole lot more.
Wepa, what up, man? This is your boy, Al Mega. Welcome to a brand new Comic Crusaders Podcast. And right now, today, with this episode, baby, we're going back to indie comics. That's right. We're talking about an upcoming amazing project through my peeps over at Inked. All right. Today we have the writer and creator of this project named Robo Usha. Woo! From Cinema 8. And you know what? We also have a homie from Cinema 8 on deck to talk about, you know, the publishing press and all the goodies that are coming out. Let me introduce the two gentlemen, Mr. Austin Workman and Richard Afoto. What's poppin', kiddo? How you doing?
Hey, we appreciate you having us on the show.
I know. Thank you for coming on to talk about Robo Usher, about Cinema 8, you know, the upcoming project, making sure that people start getting ready to spend that post-Christmas money, you know, the envelopes they got since they finished counting the money. Now they know how much they have. They can start, you know, spending, especially on supporting independent comic books. So, exactly. We need that origin story. You know what it is? So let's get started. I'll start with Austin. Let me know where you OG from, and what was the first thing in comics you ever fell in love with or fandom?
Spider-Man's what made me fall in love with the comic book industry, especially John Romita's artwork. But what started our story, we're from Logan, West Virginia, and we're actually in a movie theater as we speak, if you can tell by the poster behind me. Cinema 8 Comics started in Cinema 8. This is Fountain Place Cinema 8 in Logan, West Virginia. That's where we're at right now. And I started working here about 10 years ago. And my buddy Richard over here, he was actually my boss at the time. We would always joke and make up characters and stories along the way just to pass by time while we was working here at the theater. And one day, me, him, and another person that worked here with us named Joe Mendez, he no longer works here anymore, that we come up with a story called Robo Usher. It was an usher of a movie theater that could do the job of 10 employees. The way we're describing it, it's a mixture between Clerks meets RoboCop. It's action, but it's got a lot of comedy. Right now, we've got issue 0, 1, 2, and 3 already printed. We've got digital copies of them. When we started out with issue 1. When we released it, we started selling it here at the theater and the theater only. And then after we would start out ordering like 25 books at a time, we just started out small. And after we would sell them out, we just kept ordering more. Well, over time, the hobby started to fund itself. So we never planned on doing issue 2. So it's like, let's do issue 2. So we got with our artist that done the first issue. He's from Argentina. His name's Horacio Burrita. He has been with us from the start. He is very well to communicate with. His pricing is great. He's given us ideas. He's helped us mold this character into what it really is.
Horacio?
Actually, a guy locally, his name's Travis Tomlin. He does a comic book called Canada Jack. Yeah, exactly. It's awesome. I got with him and said, hey, we got this great idea. We wanted to make a small movie with it. That cost a fortune. It's like, we want to start out and we want to do a comic and bring this to life. So he got me in contact with him and we started putting our minds together. And I started trying to raise up money to get it done. And bada boom, Robo Usher was born. And the second book, Travis was working long hours at the time because he works for the state. And he said, you know, you got to do this on your own. I was new into it, didn't know what I was doing. I was like, oh God, this is going to be a wreck. But Horacio helped walk me through it. We've got a great creative team that's jumped along the way that's really helped us through it. You've got Richard. He's the creative director of the company. You've got Josh Farmer. You've got Jonah Ramey, all of those together. Some of us do social media. Some of us do story. Some of us, we all meet and we come up with different concepts, different ideas we want to do in the future. We all work together as a team. This year, we become a company in 2023. Well, last year, around June, we decided to become a small company. We've done a few cons. We've done a few successful Kickstarters. But this one is mainly our big one that we're focusing on because this is really going to fund the year for us. It's a $5,000 goal. We've got different tiers you can purchase. Ones for individual books, all the way up to issue 4, which ends our mini series. But so far, it's been really good. We've got a lot of positive feedback on it, and we're just looking towards the future.
Excellent, excellent. And Rich, man, talk about yourself. You know, where you OG from, man, and your first love in fandom and this crazy ride that you decided to jump on with Austin.
Yeah, like Austin said, I mean, you know, just kind of started here at work. I'm older, I'm 45. I've been into comics a long time. I remember collecting them from gas stations as a kid, you know, 7-Eleven, Go-Mart, little stores like that. You know, they'd have a rack of comics and we'd go to get gas. I'd grab not whatever looked good on the rack, you know, and then I moved to comic shops a little later on and I got out of it for a few years, got back in, and then I was out. And then also started collecting Spider-Man. Next thing I know, I had another collection going. So, you know, just getting a chance to actually, you know, get a little bit, you know, more character to actually see, you know, you put the paper, the ideas down on paper and then you actually hold them in your hands and flip through it and just look at it, you know, emotion and life, you know, it's definitely an experience.
There's nothing better than picking up those cool books and smelling the ink, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, digital's growing and we're supporting digital, of course, but I mean, there's nothing like, you know, holding the book there in your hands and flipping through it, you know?
Yeah, man, we're old school. It is what it is. All right, so let's start getting into it. You know, I want people to know, you know, because the campaign, you know, is not yet live. It's coming soon, all right? And folks, you can see the link below at ink.pub/RoboUsher, all right? So start signing up so that way you know when it goes live, you get that wonderful notification and throw your wallet at the screen because that's what you're going to want to do. Because I was fortunate enough to be able to read the issues and finish right before they came out. So I was it's definitely a hell of fun read. And the first thing I thought is, do these guys work in a cinema? So funnily enough.
I still currently here. So 18 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, thank you for your service, sir. All right. So. Talk to me then. Describe the storyline or premise behind RoboUsher. Who is RoboUsher? You know, tell us what you can without you know, giving away the kitchen sink, if you will.
Well, we'll try to give as much as we can without giving issue 4 because that really ties our story together. But the character to begin with was designed after me because when I first started, I tried to do as much as I could with the limited time that I had. And we would joke around about a robot usher and it kind of just tied itself together. But the story starts out is an usher starts at the movie theater and it's at Fountain Place Cinema 8, a real location. All the images that you see are very similar to this theater. So he starts working here and it's him and his best friend, Rob. That's in issue 0. Well, you read it. And they're working and they see this rowdy group come in. And the evil character of our story is Mr. Pickle. He is the vice president of the company. He's basically the bad guy. So he wants to take over the theater industry. But to do that, he has to go through certain obstacles, go through certain things that he wants to see get done. And he comes out with this pickle flavor seasoning. And this seasoning is supposed to get these kids and get all these teenagers, all these parents more hungry for all this concession food and buy more drinks. But it also, when they was testing it, it started getting people aggressive. So they tested out on this bunch and a lot of these characters you see in the book are designed after real people. Like in issue 0, the manager that's in there, Richard, it's him.
All right. And I know one. I said, damn, you kind of look like him. I'm thinking about it.
All the characters you see in the book that are main characters are designed after real people with their permission, but they all worked here at some point in time or played a significant role here at this theater. And the usher gets sent into a theater for them being too rowdy and aggressive and causing a hard time for the customers. And he goes in and gets ripped to shred by all these different customers. And Mr. Pickle had a plan on making not RoboUsher, but certain robobots, as it lists in the first issue, to try to help him control the whole theater industry and take over the whole theater industry in the world. And it's very corny. It's very funny. You'll see a lot of puns as you read through it. It's like, this is a lot of action, but it's also a lot of comedy. It just keeps you on the edge of your seat, but you're laughing the whole way through. Well, he gets injured and the Richard and Joe character take him to the stock room and they take these robobot parts and create RoboUsher. And Mr. Pickle had no plans on this happening. So he takes it out on Richard. Trashmaster's born. One of our evil villains, order issue 1. And this is an origin story of all of our characters, issue 0. to understand it all, to understand how they all play a certain role, you have to read issue zero. That's why we went back and done a prequel. Because we done issue one, issue two, issue three, and we kept getting the same feedback. And how these characters come about, how this goofiness happened, issue zero tells the whole story. It's basically Mr. Pickle trying to take over the movie theater industry, and each issue connects to that story. And issue four will tie it all together and finish it.
See, I am digging it. I'm digging it. So it ties it all together and finishes it. So is this the end of the story or the end of the first arc?
This is the end of volume one. Oh. And that's something we really haven't told anybody. On this podcast only, is the first time we've ever talked about doing volume two of Rebel Usher. Now, we have three to four of the five stories already wrote for volume two.
Oh, excellent.
And it is a crazy ride. If you thought the first volume was crazy, this is a crazy ride. It takes you places we've never took before. And we're also working on a couple other projects, which the one that we're going to talk about the most after Robo Usher, before we start volume two, is Radioactive Chinchilla.
Radioactive Chinchilla. Oh, that sounds gangster. What are we talking about here, boy? I guess it's just as it sounds, huh?
We're not going to get into too much detail with it to spoil it, but it's based in an 80s theme setting. And you kind of got this Breakfast Club type kids, you know, into trouble, kind of mixed with the Gremlins, kind of in that type of setting. But we're just going to leave it there.
And when you say Chinchilla, all I could think about is, you know, late 70s, early 80s, you know, and when that was a hot thing.
and the cons that we went to, we seen a lot of people peak interest in it. So that made us want to do that book next before we start on volume two.
Well, talk about this con experience, because you guys are like all fresh into this, right? All new, you know, again, Cinema Age just born last year. They're just a baby as a company. So talk about that experience, you know, becoming a publishing press, touring the comic book scene through cons.
Our first con we done was in Huntington, West Virginia. It was the first local con that we actually got to go to. We wasn't expecting to do great because we was just getting known. But we ordered a lot of inventory to take with us. We ordered some banners, some advertisement. We purchased a table and we sit down. And the more people that walk by, we noticed a lot of indie people, like indie comic book groups and these indie artists, if they just sit back at their table and they don't really go out and tell what they have, put it in people's hands, nobody takes interest. So what we would do, we would jump out and explain, you know, this is what our comic is. You like Clerks? Do you like RoboCop? Put it together. This is what you have. And that's our best way we explained it. And we sold every issue we had, but probably five or six that we had to bring home.
Is that so hard to do? Honestly, you know, you guys are indie creators. And I always tell that to independent creators that very few I see stand in front of their table holding books and like, hey, you check this out. You know what I mean? I like that hustle. I think that if you're at a con, that's what you're supposed to do as an independent, you know, creator, publisher, stand in front of your darn table and bring them on over and sell your books, man. I dig that energy.
If you don't grab people's attention, they'll just keep walking by.
Yeah, exactly.
And I work in the auto industry, so I'm a salesman at heart. So if I can't sell my own product, I don't need to be in the industry. This is a product that I help create and that I have to push it to get it to succeed. And especially our company, because all the money that we make, we don't take no profit from it. We're an LLC, but all of our money goes back into purchasing more books, getting Kickstarter started, purchasing equipment like computers, microphones, but most of our money goes back into paying for artwork.
Good.
A lot of people don't understand how expensive it is for artwork. But our artist, he is top notch. I put him up there with any major comic book creator, artist. He is awesome.
So you said that he tutored you and helped you a lot in the process, right? Because you came in seriously, again, knowing zilch, or did you kind of do some research? Or you said nothing? Damn. Crazy.
I had Richard to help me a lot. Richard knew more about comics than anybody ever met. So he was right here, right at my right hand the whole way through. But doing a comic, we never created one. The very first issue we done, it was colored, but you could tell that it was put together, but it wasn't like a DC or a Marvel book. So yeah. We had to get with somebody that could really design and put the wording in and put the lettering and stuff that we really needed. And that's where we found a guy named Stephen Duffy. He owns Apex. I think it's Apex Comics. He does all of our lettering for us. He's actually from England.
Okay.
So when the book gets finished, I send him all the files for the artwork and I send him the story. and he puts our story together and makes it where it's printable. He makes a digital and a printable copy for us. So he ties it all together when it's finished. We create the story, send it to Horatio. He does the artwork. We send it to Duffy. He sends it back and it goes straight to print.
Wonderful. So how's your experience on doing Kickstarters? And what made you decide to use, you know, the Kickstarter platform as the lean?
Well, after we'd done issue 1 and 2, because I had to put a lot of my own money with 2. 2 almost paid for itself, but I still had to put my own money. But 3 completely funded itself from sales from issue 1, 2. And we'd done a Kickstarter for it, just a small one. We'd done a small Kickstarter and we succeeded on it, and it funded issue 3. Mm-hmm. And then for issue 0, this is actually a really funny story. The money from 1, 2, and 3 helped fund it. But the general manager here at the time, he's moving up further in corporate. There was some old arcade games that we had here. And he said, I want this amount of money for these games. He said, but if you all sell them for anything more, you all can keep the money and put it towards the comic books. Ooh. So he said, okay, you know, let's give it a shot. So put it on Facebook. Nobody took any interest in it for a few days. Had a couple people come down. We had 2 different guys come down, bought everyone that he had, and we made a huge profit on it. And that paid for issue 0. It finished paying for it. We didn't have a dime in it.
Ooh, wow. Heck yeah. So win, kiddo. What?
You have to hustle in this industry. That's where people lack. They don't hustle.
Well, again, you know, look, he could sell anything, this guy, apparently. Holy are your sales services being listed in the classified section of the comic book pack?
Our books right now, they've sold really well. We've sold more physical than we have digital because people want them for collectibles. Plus, all of our books, we're very professional. We make sure they're bagged and boarded. Because a lot of indie comic books, you get them, they're not bagged and boarded. Oh. I want them to look like they come out of a comic book store. I want them to look like they come right out of Marvel. Quality is our main, is what we focus on.
Are you pitching to local comic shops as well? You know,
yes. We're in 3 local comic book shops around our area. And then we're in 1 major comic book store in Huntington. Everyone that we've took to has sold most of our books. A lot of places we've had to go back and give them 2, 3 orders, which it's worked out well for us. But mainly cons is where we made most of our money, cons and Kickstarters. That's what we're really focusing on. The comic book shops has helped. It's helped move a lot of our inventory when we first get them printed. They'll order maybe anywhere between 5 to 10 to 15 issues for each book. So it helps us move inventory. But Kickstarters and cons have really been our main focus and made us the most profit.
Okay, great. Now, I want to get back to story just a little bit. Are there any particular themes or messages that you aim to explore or convey through RoboWatcher?
Basically, a love of the theaters is a kind of a theme throughout it. It's like, yeah. I still love working here. And I know Austin always, always loved working here. And, you know, that's kind of in there. It's like future storylines we've talked about and stuff kind of hit on that theme as well. So it's definitely one of the underlying themes and just,
yeah,
the enjoyment that people get coming together to the theater for one.
What really helped push me when I got done with issue 1, I would have quit. I would have, be honest with you, if it wasn't for Richard jumping in and taking interest and we coming up with a second story and a third story, well, I would have stopped with issue 1 because I was the only one who had the energy. When you have multiple people around you have the same energy that you have, it pushes you to go further. But really helped us come up with the story is a lot of our stories that we created for volume 1 happened during COVID. So the movie industry was dying. They were shut down. People weren't coming to the movies. The movie industry as a whole with streaming services is slowly dying. And this kind of helps us keep the movie industry alive, keep that experience alive.
Well, thank you. I have a friend that loves the cinema and definitely you're speaking his language. A big shout out to my man, Clap for our critics. That's what they're about. It's the cinema experience and, you know, how important it is to him. I think you guys need to talk also, you know, about cinema and comics. That'll be a great time.
That would be awesome.
Now, yeah, I want to help you guys because again, I love the book and I saw and noticed the growth of in art and story. Issue by issue. So as I kept just like, ooh, wow, the lines, the line work, everybody, you know, the facial structure, everything is coming together so nicely. So, you know, and it's true that at this point in time, I would definitely put that book up right next to any big 2 and be like, look at the quality, look at the fun behind it. You guys nuts? Come on, guys. List the
problem. That's what comics is about. It's making a fun, creative story.
Yes.
And a lot of people have done this.
Thank you. Thank you that you made it humorous. No, media narrative is being thrown at us. You know, let me just say that. Thank you. You know, it was just an enjoyable comic. It had me smiling again. Now the more that I look at Rich over here, in the comic character, I'm like, God damn, dude, you got to do cosplay at one of the shows.
We've joked about doing some TikToks or something in character.
Please.
Funny, you know.
I will share the shit out of that if you do it, yo, for real. Because, yo, bro, yo, that artist murdered you, man, for real, on the illustration.
See, when we started out, I was like, when we thought we wanted to do it funny, I was like, I want to send pictures. I just went to Facebook and started taking people's profile pictures and finding the best picture I could of them, and I'd send it to the artist. And he would draw it, no questions asked. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff we asked him to draw in these books, and he had no questions asked. He drew everything we asked him.
Oh, I love it.
That's what comics is about, making a fun, creative story that's unique. That's what we wanted to bring to the table, something unique that people haven't seen.
Yep, and I know it is a twist, and it is crazy, and it is fun, though. Again, as you said, that's what comics should be now.
And
would you say that's what sets Robosha apart from other comic series?
It does. It sets us apart, and the guy that does our lettering, Stephen Duffy, that I talked about a moment ago, he said each issue that he helps us create is something that he would never think happened. He said, it always keeps me like I don't know what's happening next. He said, that's what comics is about. He said, I don't want to know what happens next. I don't want to guess and it happened in the next issue. Kind of like with Spider-Man when Gwen Stacy died. It was a major turning point in comics. That's something that nobody expected to happen, them to kill off a major character.
Mm-hmm.
We always keep people in each of our books on the edge. They don't know what to happen. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what goofiness to expect. They don't know what serious to expect. And with issue 4, the puns, the action, the fun, we put everything we have into issue 4. We've had issue 4 in our minds from the very beginning. So it's what we're most excited for. This really ties it together. And expressing how important it is to us and our company is understood. I mean, it's very important to us. It's
bigger. It's got more pages in the issue than any of the issues we've done so far. On the Kickstarter, we're going to have an exclusive variant cover that we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's got a movie theme to it. Guarantee when people see it, they're going to love it and they're going to want that cover for sure.
Okay.
The artist, we've given him the idea of the cover, but he hasn't put it together yet for us. We're waiting until the Kickstarter gets closer to going live, which we're going live next month with it.
Well, excellent. That was my next question, because folks could easily sign up now, but you know, exactly the anticipation of when it will go live, so people again can start contributing. So, you know, around what time next month? Mid month, beginning, end?
I would say within the first 2 weeks is what we're expecting.
Okay.
Possibly sooner than the 2 weeks, to be honest with you. It'd probably be from the first to the second, probably the first to the second week. Kevin and his team, the guy from Inked, they have been really awesome with helping us. They're actually building a video for the Kickstarter right now, a professional video, and they've got a bunch of places that they advertise for us. So it's been really helpful. We have an ad here at the theater that they play for free for us for advertisement, which is awesome. So when people go in to watch a movie, they get to see Robo Usher. They get to see the advertisement for 0, 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, isn't that fire when you see a comic book commercial?
and you would be surprised. It brings joy to us that we see a kid come out of a movie and they'll say, Mommy, I really want to go buy this comic book. And they get to go up to the counter and get to purchase this book. And we're here and they want them signed. So it really just helps push us further.
I really like that idea. I really love that idea, though, because comics, movies, and I mean, what a beautiful marriage. When I lived in New York, there was a gentleman that would park himself in front of the movie theater with a table full of comics. And he would purposely bring books that were, you know, based on the movie that was at the theater at the time. Let me tell you that when people came out of the theater, they were all about his booth. So I love to see this. Because again, you know, again, if you imagine as this Marvel, DC, everybody, I'm missing a big, big joint here. Imagine being able to buy a comic when you come out with the excitement. I mean, it'll
sell. Exactly. And we're just hoping with 2024, if the Kickstarter is successful, it's really going to help us grow as a company, because it'll not only help us get more than one book out a year, it'll help us because if it succeeds, we've got Kevin helping us. We're working on a Kickstarter for Chinchilla. We've got 2 or 3 other books that we're working on. So we would like, our goal was to get three books out this year. Last year, we was able to get two. We was able to get three and zero out before the end of the year. We're hoping to get three books this year, which is a very big project for us, especially with funding for it, because you know how expensive it is to start a comic, as we've spoken about a minute ago. So we're really excited about that. But we're excited for people to get their hands on these books and to get these books shipped out if it succeeds, because they're in for a ride. It's a real good treat. I think people's really going to love it. I think they're going to say, you know what? I can't wait for Cinema Comics, what they bring out next. And that's what we want. We want to pique people's interest. We want to show them that there's more than just Marvel and DC. There's indie comic book companies out there like us that can bring just as great enough stories they can have in their hands.
Agreed. It's the indie golden age, baby. And people need to realize that. I mean, the big two, you know, are losing their way. So it is definitely a time for people. But again, listen, if you're not a fan of, no longer a fan of what Marvel DC is doing, instead of complaining, go check out Cinema 8, you know, and just drop those other two like flies. That's what you got to do. It's really that simple in the support of independent community and creation. And guys, I'm going to tell you guys again, this is where you go right now to sign up for notifications. That's the page, inked.pub/RoboUsher. All right. And no, it's not a robotic dancing Usher the singer. This is something way totally different. And Yossi, this is fire. It is fun. It is humor. It is what comic books should be, you know, and I'm happy to have read this, being one of the first reads of 2024 for me. So, you know, thank you. It brought a smile to me, and I appreciate it, and I think that fans are going to love it once it's live. And again, you know, I think you'll be able to be an outside of panels when it's live, and then Johnny may be able to show off some of the interiors.
Ooh. And if people's not sure about our company, if they're not sure, but if they're not, they don't want to know if they want to try a physical copy. If you go to our Facebook page, there's a place on there where you can click our store. It'll take you straight to our website where you can order a physical or a digital copy of any of our books.
Yeah, folks. And as he said, on Facebook, you can go visit Cinema, the number 8 Comics. Instagram is Cinema8Comics.official. Yep, I saw that. I misspelled that. Ignore that misspelling, folks. All right. Let me fix it. And then we have Twitter, of course, or X, whichever you prefer. If you want to be Elon's friend, you want to call it X. All right. You can go to Cinema 8 Comics there again. All right. Check them out. Follow, support, indie. Let them know what you think. You know, just take a look. The homies got it on social. They did the right thing just about locking down their name everywhere. You know, where's the Cinema 8 t-shirts and swags? What we get, man? We got all that dope swag too. What's going on?
We've got, when we done the con in Huntington, we said, you know, if people really like this book, we should have a little bit of merchandise. So we've got our first combo pack of stickers of the characters. Oh, we've got cool. Robo Usher, Trash Master. We've got the 3D Wizard. He's a crazy character.
Yeah, that was
we've
fun.
We've got Mr. Pickle. We've got, that's our first sticker pack that we had there for sale, which we have those listed on there as well. People can purchase. And they'll be soon. We'll have volume 2 of them on the Kickstarter. And we have some shirts on there. We've got, I think, 2 different designs of shirts. One with the actual Robo Ushers, the Evil Ushers from Volume 2. You got those posed up on one shirt. And then we have one as our Facebook profile picture of Robo Usher standing with the GHTC theater logo in the back. So there's some really awesome merchandise on there. And we plan on adding more this year. So,
and I have an idea for you. Here's a freebie idea. So when you guys do the action figures, package them in pickle jars.
Definitely will. I like that idea.
I don't think it'll be fucking funny. All right, no, for real though, guys, I really appreciate your time. I appreciate what you guys are doing. Again, as an independent creator and as an independent fan, just, you know, hats off, a salute to you, because I know the journey is not easy, but it's definitely worth it. So, you know, thank you for, you know, putting yourselves out there and sharing and your humor and your fun with us. And I know that fans are going to dig it. Folks, again, look, it's in the picture right there. It's been in your face this whole time. Coming early 2024, you know, next month. All right, hopefully within the first 2 weeks, ink.pub/RoboUsher. Support. All the links are below. All right, make your life easy. This is what we got to do. This is about independent comics in 2024. It's no different than last. There's going to be even better and wilder books coming our way. And now with this publisher on the scene, Cinema 8 Comics, whippa, it's about to tear it up. I can't wait. So Rich, being the most famous character in the book next to Robo Washer. Give us a piece of advice here, if you will. You know, as an OG comic fan and a guy stepping into the business, an entrepreneur, what would you tell, someone also trying to step into the game?
I don't know, man. It just, something that I can say about Robo Usher is we try to make it where it's just enjoyable for everyone. Like, I literally have him out there on my counter, and that's because, it's something different that anybody can pick up and read. Everybody can relate coming to the movie theaters. And then, it's just a good time.
And something else you got to have, you got to have a good team behind you. Cause if not, you'll lose momentum, you'll lose interest, and you'll just lose that passion for it. You have to have a good team behind you. If you go in by yourself, you'll go out by yourself.
Ooh. Oof.
You got to go in with a good team. I started out with just us creating a story, and I done the first comic. Nobody ever thought they'd have been a second one, a third one, or issue zero, or going into issue four. We never knew how big it would get, but we didn't worry about that. We worried about creating good stories that we enjoy. And that's what we bring to the table. If I wouldn't enjoy it, I wouldn't expect nobody else to buy it or read it.
It is, folks. That's the way you create books. That's the way you run a biz, and make sure that you're satisfying your clientele, baby. I love it. I love the energy. I wish you guys nothing but success in 2024. Very happy New Year and a best one at that. And with that, folks, all my crusaders, thank you for joining for yet another Comic Crusaders podcast. Support Indie. Support the rest of our program, like the ones on Undercover Capes, like Outside the Panels, No Price Podcast, The Finish Crusade, and so much more. Thank you guys for hanging out with me and the Cinema 8 Boys. Huepas, la próxima. Much love.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Crusaders podcast. If you like the content, please subscribe and turn on notifications. Also, please visit ComicCrusaders.com and our extended podcast family over at UndercoverCapes.com. And also, make sure to download the Comic Crusaders app on the Play Store today.